comedian. It's your favorite comedian, Anthony Rogers, live in his tour bus. Yeah. But also, you need to get a beard like this. People have been talking. They said your shit looks whack. It looks weird. They can't tell your pronouns. You need to get a beard like this right now. And the only way to do that is by using Luxurious Bastard Beard Oil. Great smell, great function, great everything. Just get this. And there's directions on how to use it if you know how to read. But use the link in the description. Go to the website. Use promo code LEGENDARY. Get a discount. Do it. Thank you. Boom. Smokey's Edibles. Gluten-free. Dairy-free. Vegan. No corn syrup. Ugh. Way better than other edibles in the market. Get them. Eat responsibly, obviously. Like when you watch the show and you're not doing anything or you're at work or anything like that. That's obvious, but some people have to hear that. Definitely, these are the watermelon. My favorite is the peach. I just grabbed these last night for something different. Sour watermelon sounded cool. I've had them before, but I just wanted a little something different, you know? That's 21 and over. Make sure they're 21 and over. Buy them for yourself. They're amazing. Eat them before the show. Eat them before every episode, like me.
I'm Dennis with the Anthony Rogers Show podcast. My question for you is, what would you do if you became president to help the working class?
Well, you know, I think the principal thing right now is housing. At the price of housing is going up and it's beyond the reach of most American families.
Along with oil and gas and food.
Yeah. Inflation is hurting everybody. And inflation is more complex. I can't say that I'm going to stop inflation overnight. What I can say is that I'm going to stop the long-term cause of inflation. I'm going to unravel a war machine. I'm going to reduce dramatically healthcare costs by ending the chronic disease.
Welcome back to the greatest podcast in the entire universe. Today I have a huge guest. She's been on a lot of stuff. That's pretty cool. Entertaining subject, I think, to me at least right now. And I mean, obviously other people think so too. She's on a lot of shows. Terry Ling Kale, how are you doing?
Hi. Doing great.
I appreciate you going backwards in your career and being on this show. You know, I've been...
That isn't true.
But you cover a lot of cool stuff, and correct me if I read this wrong or anything, but you had experiences like with demons, like in real life as well.
Oh yes, absolutely, I sure did.
Could you elaborate on that? Maybe the first time, or how many times first, and then maybe your first time or something.
I wouldn't even be able to give you a number. It's been ongoing throughout my life. Things started happening when I was very young. Very strange things, you know, shadow people. I remember trying to discuss it with my mom, and she didn't want to hear about it, wasn't interested, and it scared her. So things that were happening to me were freaking her out, and she just ignored it, which, you know, I always like to say at that point while I share these things, if you've got children out there and they're trying to talk to you about something that they've seen or experienced, please listen to them. Sit down and listen to your children. Because of that, I grew up frightened, scared to death, very lonely, because I felt like, why is this happening to me? Why am I seeing these things? You know, my nuts or something, you know. But later on in life, I found out this happens to a lot of people. And I just didn't know it at the time, you know, because I couldn't talk to anybody, no adults. So I had things happen when I was 5. I had things happen when I was 7 and, you know, 13 and 16 and different things. But I think the 5-year-old thing started it all. I was in the front yard playing with my brother and the neighbors, and my brother and the Becker children, who are our neighbors, wanted to go play baseball. Well, I'm not a baseball kind of a girl. And so I decided I'd stay in the front yard. And I said goodbye to them. They took off and I heard my name called, and I heard it. It was a man. And I thought, okay, you know, that's got to be my dad. So I turned around to look at the house to see if my dad was calling me. And now remember, I'm only 5, you know, and I didn't see my daddy. So I just kept playing. And I was just kind of sitting around in the front yard. I really don't even know what I was doing. I mean, at five, you know, playing is just sitting, you know, really when you're by yourself. But I heard my name called a second time, very clearly, Terry. And I looked all around again, and I looked at the house, and my dad wasn't there. And we had this trifold house in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. And I couldn't see him at the porch. I couldn't see him at the front door. I didn't see him standing in the yard. I'm like, well, where is he? And then the third time I heard my name called, and I looked up, and there was a man standing in the sky. And I thought, oh, I don't think men are supposed to stand in the sky. And, you know, that's all I could think. You know, it didn't make any sense to me. I'd never seen anybody standing in the sky before. But this man had a robe and some kind of a sash. I remember a blue sash kind of moving in the air. And he started coming at me, getting closer and closer. And I remember just standing there at first and watching him and thinking, I don't think men are supposed to stand in the sky. I don't think they're supposed to. And then I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I better go in and tell my daddy. So I turned around and started running into the house. And this entity, or whatever this was, got much closer. And it panicked me, really panicked me. And I remember running in and screaming, "Daddy, Daddy, there's a man standing in the sky. There's a man standing in the sky." And he just looked at me and he said, "Okay, Teresa, go get, you know, ready for dinner, go wash up." And I thought, "What? Aren't you going to go look? Go look, go look." And he didn't. I mean, he literally ignored my plea and my fear and told me to get ready for dinner. And at five, you do as you're told. So I went and washed my hands and I said to my dad again, "Let's go look." And he just ignored me completely. So with that, knowing at five that you're supposed to tell your parents and then they don't respond, that sets you up to be really fearful of things. And it started at that young age. And I really do believe that there are spiritual dimensions here. And it doesn't matter if it's a child, a baby, these spiritual realms can happen to young children. I'm proof of that. I've heard hundreds of testimonies. I've gone to hundreds of people's homes over the last 40 some years and done deliverances with little kids that have had issues and parents that have had issues and don't know what to do. So I like sharing that because I want listeners to understand, please listen to your children.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay. You got me. It's interesting. I feel like I had the opposite experience last week, like an angel, like that I heard, you're the guest. I don't get too much into this, but last week I was at the gym and I normally, right now I'm in an Airbnb because it's freezing here, but I usually stay in our bus. I turn in an RV and I was doing something dumb. I was just like overloading the propane. And then like without knowing it creates CO2, which I'll get to in a second. And I was at the gym and I just like, I quit, and without going into too many details, I quit smoking weed recently, like about 2 weeks ago. So I just been working out for like 4 hours a day and stuff. And I was at the gym and this guy that did not know my name, he knows it now, but there's no way this guy knew my name. I've talked to him before and he doesn't know my name. And I heard Anthony Rogers. I heard my full name. I heard Anthony Rogers. I looked up, and as I looked up, that guy was walking in the place that I talk to. I'm at the gym sometimes. And I waved at him, and he's older, so probably has bad eyesight. So he walks over and he's like, "Yeah, I thought that was you. Hey." And then during that conversation, he told me I was basically poisoning myself with my heating system because I had no ventilation. And then he told me, and then I helped him get an Airbnb because like he's in a similar situation. He's like in a van or something, so he's in a similar situation. And it's funny you said the name thing. Because I felt like that was an angel in that instance, but it was probably a demon in yours. And I feel like it, and it's weird that I mean, I felt like it was an angel, at least because the guy's name's Michael also, which is crazy. And you know what I mean? And then, and that was just like a taste of that. But I don't know, like, not to get too into that. I feel like there's definitely both all the time around us.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Very well been an angel. I have seen them. They have just appeared in my home.
You've seen angels as well?
I've seen three different very specific angels. And then I've had other angels that have come to me in visions and appeared to me, woke me up at night. And, you know, have given me a word, and that word was definitely from God. It wasn't something that, you know, was spooky or weird or anything. But every angel that I've seen, they're just amazingly beautiful, amazingly beautiful. And the ones that I saw in the broad daylight in my home in Florida, when I lived in St. Petersburg, Florida, I was in my 20s, and I would have these situations where I would be really seeking God, and I just needed to know what to do in my life. And I experienced this beautiful white-haired angel, very tall, looked male, but had beautiful attributes of female too. It was like it wasn't one or the other. It was both somehow, and big blue eyes, really gorgeous, and chiseled perfection. The face was really symmetrically perfect. And he was right in front of me. I mean, this far away from me. And he was giving me some form of a data dump that was, he wasn't speaking audibly. He was just looking at me, and I was looking at him. And then he put his hand out like this and pointed out the door. And at that very moment that he did that, my friends pulled up outside of my door, right to where the end of his finger was pointing. And I thought, oh my gosh, their car literally pulled up and stopped right there at the end of his finger. And so I thought, what does this mean? And they were missionaries, and they had been asking me to do some missionary work with them. So I got involved with the Good Samaritan and started doing some missionary work over in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. And I went there, and, you know, that kind of led me into that. So angels are very real, and they always have a message for us. If you don't hear a message, be very cautious, because there are things such as familiar spirits, which can shapeshift and cause you to see things that they are not. And they can come presenting themselves as something, and that's not what they are. Now, the reason I say that is I had another experience in that same home in St. Petersburg, Florida. I think I was in my 30s now, and I was sitting on my bed, and I was just going to get up and read a book. I had a book over there on the bedside table, and I was going to get that and just start reading. And something caught my eye, and I looked over at the doorway, and there was a man standing in the doorway, but I knew the man. Okay. This was a man I had been engaged to, and we didn't get married, but we had had an engagement, and I loved this man very much, but he broke up with me and married somebody else, you know, and, you know, it happens. And so, when I saw him standing in my room, I said, John, what are you doing in my bedroom? And I thought, this is crazy, because I was now married to another man and had two children, you know, and years had passed since John and I had broken up.
One second, can I ask you something real fast? Okay, did you find out this guy was past and that's a demon?
He was okay. Very much alive.
Okay,
and
sorry.
That's
sorry.
Why it was so freaky.
Okay.
This guy, I at the time now, okay, I didn't know if he was dead or alive, but I believed he was alive. And I hadn't heard that he was dead. So I actually thought I was looking at John standing in the doorway. And I said, John, what are you doing in my bedroom? And as I looked at him, now he looked perfectly like John. He had brown, curly, long hair, and he had on a white t-shirt. He had on a pair of blue jeans, and he had on a belt and Huarache sandals, for heaven's sakes, just exactly like I had known him to dress and be, you know. And so then he didn't respond to me. And I said, John, what are you doing in my house? And that's when all of a sudden, and remember, I was looking at a human being. I knew that if I got up out of my bed, I could go over and touch this guy. Okay, he was 100% real and alive. All of a sudden, it's not John. And this body starts going tornadic, which I, to this day, I look back at that moment and I don't know how I even survived it. I mean, the fear that gripped me when you hear that terminology, that fear grips you, that is very real. I was so gripped by fear, I could barely breathe. That's how scary this was. And even though I was a Christian, I was frozen in fear. I had no peace at all. And I wanted to scream out the Lord's name. I just wanted to scream. I was alone in the house. And I couldn't remember the Lord's name. That's how scared I was. I couldn't even remember. This demon had so much power. It came as a human. Then it was tricking me. It was like a familiar spirit, but it was also a demonic spirit. And this whole thing started going tornadic. And a face came out of where I thought John's face was. This other face came forward, and I mean to tell you, nothing on me could move. Not even my my eyes were so focused on this thing. I could not move, and the fear gripped me. But this is amazing what happened. As I laid there, and this is the reason, by the way, the very big reason I became a demonologist after this experience. I was frozen, and I wanted to scream, Jesus, I wanted to scream for help. Being alone in the house, who else are you going to call for, you know? And so I couldn't remember his name. Fear had gripped me to the point of not being able to remember. So I heard in my left ear, there was an angel in the room with me and spoke to me in my left ear and said, see his name. And I thought, see his name. I'm so scared. And I thought, I don't know. I think there could be a J. And so then I saw the J. And then I was like, I think there could be an E, maybe an E. And then I saw the E. So I saw the J and I saw the E. Now remember, this thing is still going tornadic. This is happening within seconds. And then I thought, I don't know. I think maybe an S. And when I saw the S, I went, oh, Jesus. And when I did that, I saw my spirit being come up out of my own body. I saw the back of my own head. My physical body was here, but the spirit body rose up out of me, and I'm looking at the back of my own freaking head. That was my hair. That was my head. And the spirit, my spirit within my body, and you've got one, everybody's got one. That's why we're alive, because until the spirit leaves us, then we're dead. But my spirit was within me, and it rose right up and threw its hand like that. And with that tornadic thing, with that face that was coming out of it, which was horrifyingly frightening, whipped down the hall in my home and slammed the door of my children's bedroom. I mean, it slammed it so hard it sounded like the thing was going to burst. And I grabbed a breath. My I moved forward and reconnected with that, my spirit, which I saw that. I moved right into my spirit and I got up and ran outside and I stood outside on the front, in the front yard, on the patio, just jumping up and down going, oh my God, what the hell just happened? What just happened? How could that happen? What was that? That couldn't have been John. It wasn't John. It was a wicked spirit. It was a demonic spirit. And then I went, oh my God, it's in my children's room. Oh my God, I got to go back in the house. And I thought, I got to go back in that house. I cannot leave that thing in my children's room. They're going to come home from school. You know, they're babies. They're just little. I can't let this happen. So I opened the front door. Now remember, this is broad daylight. It was like 11:30 in the morning. And I open the front door and I flick on the lights, even though it was broad daylight and the whole house was, you know, light. I was that scared. And I went each room towards that, to make a long story short, towards the bedroom door. And something happened, Anthony, when I finally got there, scared out of my gourd. I put my hand on the door to the children's bedroom with this demon had slammed. And the minute I put my hand on that door, something happened to me. I had so much power. I felt like, oh my gosh, I got some kind of a holy anointing. And I put my hand on that door and all of a sudden it wasn't just little whimsy Terry opening that door. It was like, oh, how dare you? I'm coming in and I'm finding you and you're going to hell. I mean, that is exactly how I felt. So I opened the door and there was nothing there, broad daylight. I flipped on the light and, you know, the room was empty, but I just really felt like there was some kind of a power in the room. And so I spoke to it in the name of Jesus and cast it out of the house. And then and that was it. I went back in my room and sat there and I just kept saying to myself, oh my God, if this could happen to me, this could happen to somebody else. And because I was able to overcome my fear and walk back in the house because of my love of my children, then this could happen to somebody else. And I thought to myself, you know, I really need to figure this out. I can't let this happen to other people. And so that was how I initially got into then, you know, going out and doing demonic work with people who were fearful, and I would pray for them and rebuke the enemy and all of this. And so many people would tell me, we have had psychics in here. We have had priests in here. We have had seances in here to clear the house, and nothing has worked. And I said, trust me when I tell you, I'm coming in, they're leaving. Mm-hmm. And every time I had a very good report, I would call the people the next day. How are things in the house? Things are great. You know, we don't feel that same feeling we were feeling before. But let me also add this to the addendum there. That doesn't mean that you won't be attacked again by another type of spirit or by something else that you're getting into. We open the doors to all that is out there. And trust me when I tell you, there is a lot out there. And they will take advantage of you not having knowledge and not knowing what to do in a situation and getting involved in certain types of drugs or heavy alcoholism or not great lifestyles. They will take advantage of you. That's what they do. And they're actually looking for a host. Those spirits are looking for uneducated human hosts. And if they can trick you by saying they're somebody, they will. And if they come to you and start having a conversation with you, like I almost had with John, then they can possess you. This is how true possession happens. I also had another full-bodied apparition come at me, totally demonic. It was my grandmother, and she was, in fact, dead. And I knew she was dead. And there she was, standing in my house, same house. And I wouldn't even speak to her. I had learned my lesson from saying to this apparition that I thought was John, you know. Well, you know, you need to know this and you need to be prepared. And there's many ways to be prepared, but the only name that is going to deliver you is the Lord. There is not one other name that
I wear on my neck constantly. I wear the rosary constantly.
Yes.
I'm that scared of evil, and I just am that much of a believer in God. I keep around me constantly.
Well, then let me also tell you this. You have more power than any demon on the planet by just believing in God and the fact that he will empower you. Now, never forget what I just told you. My spirit rose up out of me when I was fearful, uneducated, didn't know how to handle that much fear, that much that I couldn't wrap my mind around. Here's somebody I thought was a human being, and it was not a human being.
I had that. My mom's like sick still, but she's been, her house is like covered in spirits. Like it's like when you described an angel, I didn't see the actual angel. I saw a white light. Like basically like a silhouette of white light. I knew it was an angel because it just saw through me. And then I couldn't like lie or anything, you know, like and I don't want, I should try not to lie these days, but I'm just saying like, the grandma thing, I felt my grandma's energy there, and I'll sometimes smell my grandfather. And an exorcist told me, he goes, "Their soul's gone in heaven, bro. That's not your grandfather. They're tricking you." And I smell it around me constantly. I mean, I smell my grandfather around me a lot, and they're just trying to trick me. And it's weird. And that's how I feel anyway. But it's so I can relate to that. And I have a lot of like just like I don't know how to describe it. I have a lot of I believe in everything you're saying. I've seen it in like it's definitely a battle for our soul. You know, it's like a constant battle for our soul.
Constant. And it doesn't just stop because you want it to. This is something that we need to educate ourselves on. Even in the scriptures, it says, "My people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge." We need to understand where we are, why we're here, what we're doing, and what our purpose is. And that isn't easy, okay? It's a lifetime journey. And from birth to the grave, we're on a mission. We have things to accomplish and learn here. But we, you know, and a lot of people will say, "Oh, you know, she's just religious." I am not religious at all.
There's nothing wrong.
Being.
One sec, sorry. Wouldn't it become bad to serve God? Like so many people have such negative things to say about it. Like you'll never see darkness rise faster than when you say, like, "I love Jesus" or "I love God." All this, like, all around. It's just like, and sorry to interrupt you. I just get passionate about that. I can't stand when people judge people for being a good person.
Right, exactly. But
what are you doing? You're mad about people being good?
That's right. And you know, there are so many things that can happen to us. Like I'll share with you something that happened. I think it was in 2018. Yeah. It was a house that I was living in Lakeland. And my husband and my son, my oldest son, who at the time was like 39 or 40 or something. We were all sitting watching TV, and we had our little dog, Lovey. She's a little Chihuahua. Very tiny, you know, at the time she was like 5 pounds maybe. And this thing keeps shutting down. She had been just sitting on the couch with Kevin, and we were all watching TV, and we had this big fireplace over here, kind of like the one I have over there, but it was a little bit bigger maybe. And this is my bedroom. It's a two-room bedroom, but we have 10 fireplaces in this house. So there's
like being a billionaire. Like,
oh yeah, right. No. But anyway, so we were in Florida, sitting there watching TV, and all of a sudden, Kevin and Lovey, the dog, sees this huge black smoke come out of the fireplace. Now, the fireplace hadn't been on, okay, but this black smoke came out of the fireplace, and he saw it, and she started growling, and she went ballistic in growling. Well, Jason and I were watching TV, and then Kevin is pointing, going, and, you know, and I'm like, what? And the dog is growling, and I said, what's going on? And he goes, there's a black mist coming out of the fireplace. And I said, I don't see it. And the dog obviously saw it. So I picked up Lovey, and I had Lovey in my hand. She's very tiny. And so I was holding her, and she could see and had her eyes focused on one area of the fireplace. So I was using her as almost like a guide. And she was so afraid. She stopped her barking and started screaming almost like, instead of barking. Nice. And I thought, oh my God, this dog is scared out of her gourd. And Kevin was like, oh my God. And I said, do you see it? And he goes, no, I don't see it anymore. And I said, well, where did it go? And he goes, well, it was over here. And that's where she was. And then it moved and she started barking towards this chair that was in our living room. So I went up to the chair, and she was so afraid. Anthony, I'm not kidding you. She was clawing my hands to get out of my hands. She wanted me to put her down. Her fear was off the charts. And this is a little animal, okay? And I said, Lovey, stop. And I said, is it over here, Lovey? Is it over here? And her growling and her screaming was towards the chair. So I went over to the chair. I sat in the chair. And she went nuts. She clawed and bit my hands to jump off of me, ran over to Kevin, got behind his legs. Jason's eyes are this big. He's watching me. Kevin is watching me. And I said, I think this thing sat down here. So I'm going to sit right here and I'm going to command this thing out of the house in the name of Jesus right now. And all of a sudden, the whole atmosphere in the house changed and the dog stopped barking and just sat there and stared. And I picked her up and was petting her. And now we knew it was gone. But here's the thing, animals, cats, dogs, even birds can feel those things. Kevin actually saw something coming out of that fireplace, but then it dissipated and he lost sight of it. The dog never lost sight of it until I threw it out.
Yeah, I think we can see that stuff too. I think we just saw, like, I think when you summed it up in the beginning that people are just too scared to admit it, so they act like it's not real. I think we all know it's happening. And we have a weather guy coming in real fast, like, not to tell the weather because it's crazy right now, and then we'll get right back into this amazing content. Like, I love your stories, just so you know. But
add excitement to your holidays with Ohio Lottery Holiday Scratch-Offs, including $1 holiday cash and $5 holiday lucky times 10, or holiday bonus millions with a 200 times multiplier and a $2 million top prize. Plus, enjoy second chance drawings where you can win 10 times, 100 times, or 1,000 times the price of your ticket. Scratch-Offs make the perfect gift, and best of all, there's no wrapping required. Lottery players are subject to Ohio Laws and Commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hey, Frankie.
Hey, everybody. I'm doing great so far. It's really windy. It's snow changing the rain in Sydney, Nova Scotia, my hometown right now. It's really windy in my hometown, Sydney, right now. It was snowing. Now it's ice pellets and changing over the rain in Sydney, Nova Scotia, right now. And Missouri is really cold there right now. They had lots of bad weather in Missouri. They had a big snowstorm in Arkansas on Sunday and Monday. It was really bad. Cars flying all over the place in Arkansas because they're not used to it.
Where are you at, Terry?
I'm in Paris, Tennessee.
What's Paris, Tennessee like, Frankie? Like, what's
the weather like? It's a lot of snow in Tennessee right now because the cold front in Arkansas was really, really bad.
Yes, it's 8 degrees here. It's snowed and too icy to be on the roads, and we're getting more snow tonight. So it'll be about 3 degrees tonight.
So you're in the south, he's in the north, and I'm in the middle, and it's freezing everywhere apparently right now on this side of the
hill. Yes, everywhere. Yeah.
Frankie, except when's it get warm? When's it get warm, Frankie?
That means I'm wearing warm clothes and things like this and try to keep you warm in the winter. And guess what? And I was on another podcast in the Hot Water Show with Gino Bisconte today.
That's nice. When does it get warm here, brother?
Go get warm here a couple few pretty soon.
Hopefully, man. Hopefully. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, you have any other week.
Yeah, hopefully. You have any other weather forecast for us, Frankie, for the month or maybe?
So it's going to get snow in Vancouver, British Columbia tonight and tomorrow as well. Then it's going to gradually warm up. And it's going to bring more snow in interior Oregon and all those interior western United States like Idaho and Montana, Utah, Nevada, and all these places. And it's supposed to get to wet weather in California next week in Arizona.
I can't wait for it to be over, you know. I can't wait for all that.
I know. I hate the winter.
Me too. Well, Frankie, if you want to throw anything else out real fast, I'm going to get back to this. Is we got a crazy story real fast, but you can be back on tomorrow and stuff too if you'll be out a little longer. But yeah, we got a crazy story to get back into. If you want to throw out any other weather or promo or anything you want real fast.
Down in Australia, it's lots of thunderstorms going on in southeastern Australia right now. It was really, really bad right now. And I just did lots of weather forecasts on YouTube lately. That means I'm working on a new comedy video soon, but we don't know yet. It's going to be released before you know it. I'm working on an idea on a new comedy video.
Awesome. Well, God bless you, Frank. We'll have you back on tomorrow for a little bit longer. This is kind of a deeper episode, so I kind of want to get back to the bulk of the story and stuff. But, yeah, if you want to hang a little longer tomorrow, we'll have you back on. God bless you, Frank. Thanks, as always, for coming on here.
Thank you.
Yeah, you have a more deeper story, so I kind of want to get back to it, though. But
gosh, thank
you, Frankie, doing the weather, obviously, too. But
gosh, it's crazy. There's plenty of things. Another thing that happened in a house I was living in Newport Richey. This is very powerful. I had gone out. I had been called to do a cleansing of a house. Up in Hudson. And so we had driven about, you know, the 30 miles to get to that place. And it was a very heavy negative spirit at the house. And the people had been having things moved. And that is something that can happen with a very powerful entity that is drawing energy from fear. They draw from fear. That's why it's best to educate yourself, know the power that you can stand in, and not be afraid and play into it. But this, go ahead.
Sorry. I'm not trying to interrupt. I just like to touch on something. Fine. I'll forget before I, but anyway, so yeah, the last couple of days I feel like I've had a lot of that stuff mess with me. And it's funny, we actually did a reschedule, which is funny because like we were supposed to be on a couple of weeks ago. And like the last couple of days, I mean, today was kind of peaceful, but the last couple of days, all these lies and negativity have been going in my head that I know is a lie, and making me like terrified of things that aren't happening, like health issues and other things like that that aren't even happening to me. And like it's funny you said the fear thing, because like it made me think that like something's messing with me, because I think the root of it's my mom being sick, and that pain in me, it's preying on, I think, personally. And it's funny you said that fear thing is like I definitely was just like the last two, and I'm a guy that's, I mean, not to sound like macho or bravado or anything, I'm rarely scared of things. I mean, it takes a lot to scare me. And I think like with detoxing off like heavy cannabis use, and then and the pain I was like kind of just masking with cannabis use, I think that me dealing with it directly finally is I think it's healthier for the long term. But in that short term, man, like my head was going from like all this crazy stuff that wasn't happening, like thinking I was having heart attacks and all this crazy stuff that's not real, and like just like I don't know, like all those lies, man. It was just, and it's crazy that and I don't know. I was just saying that I could relate to what you're saying, and like just being overly transparent. And I could definitely just relate to that, and like how like they'll definitely attack you with fear.
Oh, absolutely. And they lie. They do lie. And just so that you know, I truly believe that when we're dealing with demonic forces, there are many forces out there. They're not all demonic, but when we're dealing with demonic forces, that is actually part of the satanic field, which are fallen angels who are still with us. They haven't gone anywhere. They're still here. And, you know, they do attack us, and they can materialize. They can shapeshift. There's all kinds of stories I could share with you. I'll try to share the Skinwalker one with you before we close tonight. But so going back to this one, I was at this home and things were moving all over the house, and they had a baby that was in the crib at night screaming because he could talk a little bit, and he was saying, ugly, 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 go away, go away, go away. And so we had all these cameras on the baby, and the baby was actually seeing something. Even though we didn't physically see it, we could see that there was something that this baby was focused on. And so we went in, we did a cleansing, we did a deliverance. I anointed the child with oil. We prayed, we rebuked the enemy and whatever it was that was frightening this child and the parents who were scared out of their gourds. And I felt that whatever it was something that the grandmother was involved with. Well, come to find out, the grandmother comes home. She lived there with them. She's into tarot. She's into Ouija. She's into all kinds of nonsensical things. Now, I know that might offend people. I'm sorry. I'm not here to offend anybody. But I will tell you, those things are gateways. They're openings to let evil in. Okay. And so to make a long story short, I don't want to take too much time about that. But we ended up cleansing the house and everything was fine. And we spoke to the grandmother, tried to educate her, because most people don't have the knowledge to walk away from those things that are letting these things in. So we went home. It was very late, almost 1 o'clock at night now. And I'm absolutely exhausted after something like that, because it takes a lot out of me. I'm very focused on these entities to get them out. And I laid down in bed and closed my eyes. And all of a sudden, boom, right into my face came this very negative, demonic, black force that almost threw my head back. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. And I thought, I'm not messing with you. I command you out that front door in the name of Jesus. I command you out now. And then I laid back and fell asleep. Well, the next morning, my husband, who would have to leave the house about 5:30 to get to Tampa from Newport Richey, where we lived, he flicked on the outside light and he was getting ready to leave. And I got up and, you know, made him his little thing of coffee, you know, to take and give him a kiss goodbye. And he opens the front door. Anthony, this is true. And I have pictures to prove it. There were 1,000 dead black bugs, over 1,000, laying right at the front door, right at the front door outside on the patio. And there were so many of them. I went, what? And I looked down and I went, oh my gosh, look at all those dead bugs. I mean, there were so many, but they weren't everywhere, just at the door. And what did I say to that demon? Get out that front door in the name of Jesus. And I was so angry when I said it, because I was so exhausted. And this thing, you know, I kind of felt like, you don't have the authority to harass me, you know, and that's, it was a righteous indignation. If you would, you know, I was just very mad, and this thing had to leave, and it killed all those bugs right at the door. And there they were. And so we took pictures of that. And I have that on terryling.com because I thought, man, that is just so freaky that something like that can happen. And so I share that story to let you know these things have power. They have authority. This thing tried to, you know, follow me home and harass me because I had thrown it out of that home and away from that baby. I called the people and I said, how's the baby? Oh, everything's great here. Baby slept. You know, we were all fine. Nothing's happened. I would call every couple weeks. How's everything going? Everything's fine. I always wanted to make sure that everybody was okay after something bizarre would happen like that. And sure enough, I was okay. You know, there was no problem. In that house, we had a lot of things. Like you were saying, you always smelled your grandmother. I could smell when some of these spirits were around, and I would just rebuke them in the name of Jesus, and they would go. But that didn't mean that they wouldn't come around again another time, 2-3 months down the road. Just because you rebuke something doesn't mean it's gone forever and forever and it's never coming back. Other things can also come back. And so we have to know and understand that. I'm in this house, 5,000 square feet, all alone, all the time. My husband's at the studio tonight doing a show. And, you know, I'm here all along. I'm absolutely never fearful here. And I know that no matter what would try to pop in or happen, I'll take authority over it instantaneously. And many times I've had a dream the night before the phone call will come the next day, where I've dealt all night long in my dreams with entities that are attacking people. And the next day somebody will call me and say, can you please come over and help us with this? You know, my daughter's having an issue. She keeps seeing things. And I'll say, well, I had a dream last night. Do you happen to have a door in your house that looks like it has paneling on it? And the lady will go, well, yeah, but I don't even know these people. Okay. They're just calling me because they've heard about me. And they'll go, yeah, yes, we do have a door like that. And I go, oh, okay. Okay, good. You're the one I'm supposed to be going to then, because you just called. I had the dream last night. I was up all night. I fought this entity and I won it. I won the fight. And sometimes it's really difficult. I have to constantly fight this demonic activity while I'm sleeping, literally. It's in a dream form. And then the next day somebody will call. And when I first met my husband and I told him, sometimes I'm going to have really weird dreams. And then the next day somebody's going to call and we'll have to go out. And he goes, what? And I said, no, seriously. And I said, don't let it freak you out. I'm letting you know now this has happened to me. It's been happening to me for years on and off. I never know what's going to happen. But when it does, there's usually a phone call. If it's not the next day, it's within 2 to 3 days. And then I'll know I need to go. Well, that happened so many times. Now I wake up and I tell him about the dream before the phone rings. And he's been able to see this for himself. And I'm sure he could give anybody a testimony about that, because it's true. It's just our life and how we live. And I am not psychic. I'm spiritual. And I walk with God and I hear the Lord and I pray and, you know, sometimes even fast to get rid of some of these demonic forces, because sometimes they don't just come out. You really have to work at it, depending on the strength and the disbelief of the person that they've oppressed or possessed or depressed. You know, depressions are very real. You know, those things are real. And you mentioned smoking, you know, pot. I will tell you, oddly enough, that is an issue for a lot of people. And it does allow things to happen. When we stop those things, you're cutting off their ability to manipulate you. Anytime drinking and getting drunk, you know, doing drugs, and sometimes even drugs our doctors prescribe for us, you know, it doesn't matter how you get them or what's going on. It's that realm can take over. They can attack us through the different things that we allow in our life. Even wicked living, being very mean, or a bully.
Mostly wicked living, I'd say. Like, and I think a lot of that gets to that. I mean, maybe not. I never measured it, but a lot. Yeah, wicked living a lot. No, I noticed that, because like my friend who's on tomorrow, he's an exorcist in addition to several things he does too. He calls himself Demon Eraser. He originally brought that to me, like that. I was like, why every time he light the joint, like it's like a tribute to these things or something. And that's the same with like cigarettes and stuff, he'd say. And I don't know if it's real, but that's just what he told me. And I'm just like kind of taking it in and processing it. And it just went too far. I was eating edibles every day. I was chain smoking like high concentrate. 90% THC things. I just took it too far. Like, time and place, and the time and place isn't now for me. Mm-hmm. And I was just taking it too far. And like, I mean, I had a beer today, but I don't drink 30 of them. That's the, yeah. And I feel like I'm more calming my way out of it to where I can, I haven't processed feelings since I was 16, probably. Like, I mean, so it's like, and I'm 37. So it's like, I'm easy pickings for these guys right now. And I'm trying to kind of like, I wear the rose. Oh, okay. So this rosary thing, here's a crazy story. So last week when I had a panic attack, or 2 weeks ago, I forget the time now, I was having a panic attack, and my buddy who was grabbing my mail, I got in an argument with him about things that didn't even really matter. And I was like, just go ahead and burn that stuff. I don't care. Whatever. He tried to give me some ultimatum, and ego took hold. And I was just like, well, just burn my mail. I don't need it anyway. And in my mail was the rosary I ordered, and I forgot. Oh, I ordered it. And then as soon as it got to where I was at, I put it around my wrist, and all that anxiety went away. And it's just weird that your timing of being on this show, because like, we originally planned this maybe a month. I forget the time frame. Maybe a month ago or so. And then you came on here, and then I have another guy tomorrow doing the same thing, not the same thing, but similar field, you know. And it's weird that I've been experiencing those things. And the last guest I had on was like a rapper who was like, went viral, like shoplifting and doing like evil things, and he turned to Christ also. So these last couple episodes all kind of bunched together, are all similar subject matter around the same time I was like struggling with this without knowing I'd be struggling with this, which is really weird how God just has my back, like no matter what, you know, it just surrounds me with good people like yourself and like, you know, just like, it's really bizarre. And I condensed that story down a lot, but it definitely wanted me to burn my mail, you know, like it definitely, whatever it was, definitely wanted me to, like, you know, and like, it's definitely a huge battle all the time. And like, it's easier. It's harder dealing with yourself and stuff like that, but it's worth it. You know, it's completely worth it, I think, personally. And in time and place, I'm not on a pedestal telling anybody to get sober or whatever, and get off their PG-13 drugs like weed and stuff. But, you know, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know. It's just to me, it's time and place. And I felt like I'm way stronger now. Just my mind's faster. My internal monologue's back without smoking. Like, but for a while, I didn't even have an internal monologue without smoking. You know what I mean? It was just like,
yeah. And you know, the whole reason for us to be here is to find God here. And a lot of people do not believe that. They have all these other ideas of why we should be here. Consciousness, this, that, you know, you name it. But there is only one reason that we come here, and we come here to find the truth, and then how we deal with the truth. And it will matter in ask, seek, and knock, you know, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking to find the full dimension of truth. It's not just about getting saved or meeting God or Jesus, or religion. It's about it becoming personal, and it's a relationship, and that relationship will grow, and it takes us to the next level. We are a triune being. We're body, soul, and spirit, created in His image, and nothing else is like us. So everything else that he created all the cosmos, the universe, everything, and everything that's in it. Do we have extraterrestrials? Yes. Are there angels, fallen angels, good angels? Yes. Are there demonic spirits? Yes. Is there good out there? Yes. It's all been created by him, and we need to come to understand it. We're not here by ourselves. We are not alone. We have never been alone. We will never be alone. Okay. And everything is here with us. We need to superabound. We need to find that higher level of existence, which is a spiritual connection. Our spirit is what is saved and is going to live forever. Your body is not. The body isn't saved. The spirit in the body is saved or not. And there is an eternity before us. And people, they don't want to buy it. They don't want to buy into it. It's too simple. It's too spiritual, you know, too religious, maybe. I don't know. But I'm here to tell you, there are so many things from the time I was a little girl that would attack me to right now. And you're 37. I'm almost those numbers in reverse. I'll be 72 this year.
You're 70 something?
I'm 72 in May.
Are you a vampire?
No.
I thought 17-year-olds are way older. Like, I didn't realize, I thought you were like 50 or something. That's crazy. I knew you were older, but I didn't know you were 70. That's crazy.
It is crazy. I can't believe it myself sometimes.
So you're born in the 50s, I guess, then?
It's what?
You were born in the 50s, then?
I was, 52.
Uh-huh. Awesome. That's a fun ride. That's a fun ride. The 50s and 60s are probably America's height, man. That's cool.
Oh, my gosh. It was a great time to be a kid and be alive, other than all the negatives, you know.
Well, Vietnam and stuff. Yeah, there's some bad stuff. But
yes.
That's crazy.
But because I'm, thank God, still alive, I've lived many, many years of walking this walk and talking this talk. And I don't really care when people say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, you've got to get into this or get into that. I'm like, no, you really don't. What I've shared is truth. And my experiences are truth. And I've learned to depend on God and the Lord, because there is nothing else that has been available to help me in this life get through all these experiences, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the extraterrestrial on top of that. So, and I didn't want to believe in that, you know, but it is real. And I, you know, the Lord walked me through a couple different experiences, and I've had many since then. It's just odd, but true. And, you know, I've always said truth is stranger than fiction, 100% stranger than fiction, because it's real and you've got to deal with it. And then you've got to wrap your head around it. And what do you do with that? You know? Definitely. And what does that look like? Like what you're going through. It's like, it's a lot, you know, but we all are on our journey, and each journey is very uniquely different to the person that is going through that journey, you know? So.
I guess I'd be mad too, if I had to spend an eternity in a fire pit after this is all over. I'd be just as mad as them, I guess, you know, but it's like, I guess there's not a one size fit all, and this may be kind of a dumb question, but I still want to ask regardless. What is the easiest way to keep demons at bay and keep them away and keep just get them back out of here, get these unemployed angels out of here? Like, what's the easiest way? Maybe it's not easy, but that is my question though.
Well, the answer is keep your life with the Lord very close. You know, accept the Lord, believe in the Lord, read your Bible, follow the truth, live a good life. It's funny, the Beatles, way back when I was younger, I often will go back to some of the songs they would sing. You know, love is all we need. And it's all about love. What we take from here is what we give. Freely give what you've received. And I keep freely giving what I've received. And it works. It works. I am 72 years old and it works. I got saved when I was 21. I came to the Lord at 21. And I've been through a panoply of experiences. Very frightening, very strange, very extraterrestrial, very good. And the one common thread throughout my life has been Jesus walking me through it and giving me yet more information, more knowledge about this life, more understanding that we are quickly becoming what we will forever be in eternity. So what that means is who you are here and now, and what you bring to the table here and now is what you're taking with you. So if we make a choice for the Lord, we live eternally with him. Just like when he died on the cross, there were two other people on either side of him. And the one he promised, today, you will be with me in paradise. The other one went, give me a break. He didn't go to paradise. It's our choice. And it's not up to us to judge anybody else here. What we do is our own personal business with him. So we can't stand and judge one another. All we can do is love one another. And if somebody isn't exactly where you are, love them. You know, you might not understand everything. We don't need to. We don't need to. We're not the judge. He is, you know. We're just here to love one another and be here for each other. And if somebody has questions or somebody needs deliverance and there's something going on, that's my part to play. This is my cross to bear. I walked into this because the Lord, obviously, from the time I was little, pursued me to understand that these things can happen. And I can help them by knowing and understanding what's happening in this world. Not everybody gets it. Not everybody wants to deal with this, but this is my part to play. Like you've got your part. You know, we all have different gifts and talents. Some of us play the guitar. Some of us sing. You know, some of us are actresses. Some of us are captains of boats. And, you know, some people ride motorcycles. Everybody has their own talent or gift.
It's a collab for sure. The plant's a collab.
This is mine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you brought the save thing up, like the way I view being saved is like almost like your draft pick, and the job starts then. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people are just like, okay, well, I'm saved, blah. And that's like when the job starts almost, you know, it's like you're forgiven, like forgiven of your sins. And like, you got
that's to get, right. Absolutely.
And that's how I view it. I mean,
mm-hmm. That's how it is. The minute you ask him to forgive you and you repent literally and say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm really going to set my mind to doing better and doing what is right and reading your Bible. I mean, that's going to, you know, that's going to be what is your guiding light for the future. I mean, that is what's going to make the difference. And I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but just this year, 2024, there will be an epic change. People will start coming because we are truly in the last days. Not only am I chronologically in my last days, in the fourth quarter, as they would say, but we all collectively are in the last days. And what is going to happen here now is going to be a coming to, like in the times of old, biblical times, where people just came in droves and became saved and understood. The Lord is calling us, and he is coming back. Even though people have been laughing about that for eons, you know, it was in 2017 that Israel became, Jerusalem became the
capital
of Israel. And ever since 2017, these amazing changes are taking place. And it says in the scriptures, like unto the days of Noah, you know, men will be lovers of themselves. They will be doing all forms of evil. Take a look around you at the evil in this place. You know, it's everywhere. Yes, and yet, all we have to do is trust in the Lord. And maybe that's a little harder than it sounds, but it isn't for me, because I just said, okay, I'm going to believe every word he says. I'm just going to do it. And, you know, it's worked for me, and I've helped people get free of spirits and demonic attacks. And I'm just going to be here for people, you know, and support people, encourage people. There is a better way to live and a better way to be, you know, and it works. It works.
Yeah.
He says he is.
Definitely. I agree with every, yeah, no, I think, I mean, just you look at Revelation. I mean, 100%. I mean, the book of Revelation is happening for sure. I mean, I haven't seen the seven headed beast, but I've seen a lot of the other verses, you know, I've seen a lot of other verses. Like, I mean, just like, merchants being the great men. And you said the lover is self, whatever we call picture selfies now. You mean like that's what we call them. And like,
At the people that are wearing those red shoes. Do you understand what all that is about?
The red bottom shoes?
The red shoes. All the men that are wearing the red shoes. Those are
elaborate on that. I may have it confused.
Okay. Well, those are people in high authority who are wearing these red leather shoes. And that is from babies that have been sacrificed and killed.
I did know that. I thought it was the red bottom shoes. Okay, yes, yes, red shoes. I do know that. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. There is so much wickedness. And every time the Lord has ever done anything, there's always been a sacrifice of children. Abortions, all kinds of sacrifice of children's.
Same as it ever was, right? The same people in the pyramids doing it, right? It's the same as it ever was.
There is nothing new under the sun. It's all just a repeating, you know, of this for this generation. We're in the last times, you know, we're in the last days.
We're this close to digital currency. We're this close to like all the world united if it hasn't already. And like what scares me a lot is like the Capitol, and Donald Trump did that. Donald Trump moved the Capitol, and that's what the Antichrist does.
Yeah, that's Donald terrifying. Trump is not the Antichrist.
I hope not. I hope not. I hope he's more of an FDR. I hope he's more of a Franklin Delano Roosevelt. But no, I'm just saying like no. I mean, Revelation scares me honestly. I mean, I constantly pray and like constantly try to. I hope I don't have to deal with that 7 years for being a repentant sinner. You know, I hope I don't have to live through that. I hope I get a break somehow or whatever. You know.
Yeah, just trust. You just trust.
I do. Yeah. Ultimately, I do. But I'm still, you know.
More you read, the better it'll get. You know, I don't fear anything. I'm totally not afraid of whatever comes. You know, whatever comes is in His hands and in His timing. And what's to worry about? You know, we're in a good place.
That's the thing. It's like everything's going to happen regardless of fear or not. You know, you may as well just run with it and stuff. And I'm going to talk to you forever. I need to keep these about an hour though. But if you want to come back on again, I would love to have you on. If you had the same experience,
sure.
I would absolutely love to pick your brain more. We barely got into it because like just the time restrained like about an hour. But I mean, I absolutely love your energy and I appreciate you coming on here. And like, you have a brilliant mind and I like hearing people talk about this stuff. Matter of fact, I also understand and believe as well. If you want to throw out any, like to get back into the real world slightly now, the spiritual world, if you have any promo you want to throw out or anything like that, feel free. And everybody Google her, listen to her Coast to Coast interviews and then whatever else you want to throw out there.
Yeah, I've been on Coast to Coast about four times and I have terryling.com and a lot of my experiences are on there, both spiritual and demonic and extraterrestrial, the different things that the Lord has walked me through. And and they can just reach out to me if they need to. I'm on Facebook. always here to help.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I appreciate your time and like just coming on here and stuff. And if you're watching at home, God bless you and thank you for watching. And I hope all your dreams come true as well. I hope everybody watching and you as well, Terry. I hope I still can't believe in your 70s. Like that's crazy to me. And I hope I age as well as you and everybody watching does as well. And thanks everybody for watching. And we'll be back tomorrow night with another episode. And check out Terry's work on a lot of different stuff. I mean, she's on a lot of shows I listen to and stuff, Coast to Coast being one of them. And I appreciate everything. And just stay away from those demons. Follow God, you know?
That's right. Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.